From KUOW, it's The Record with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman. The United States has been part of a war on drugs in Latin America for more than 40 years. It's a war that demanded prohibition of drugs, but on Tuesday, Uruguay became the first country in the world to legalize pot. The United Nations drugs watchdogs have already called the move illegal. Here to tell us what it all means for the U.S. war on drugs abroad is Bruce Bagley. He's professor of international studies at the University of Miami and an expert on U.S. Latin American relations. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Why did Uruguay choose to legalize pot?
I think there are several reasons why Uruguay chose to legalize pot. I think the most immediate and direct factor was the fact that they feared contamination by organized criminal activity in neighboring countries like Brazil and Argentina, which are rising very rapidly as drug-consuming countries and areas of organized crime. The second factor is that they don't want to jail large numbers of their own youth, and clearly marijuana consumption in Uruguay is increasing. The third is they don't want to expend either the blood or the treasure that it would require for them to be fully enlisted members of the U.S. war on drugs.
Well, I want to go back to that first one, Professor Bagley, that idea of crime seeping over. If only one country has legalized marijuana, how does that impact the rest of the landscape where it is still illegal?
Well, it's going to be illegal in neighboring countries at least for a while, although there are changes taking place throughout Latin America. For the moment, what Uruguay has done is create an institute for the regulation and control of marijuana and its cultivation, processing, and distribution in Uruguay. They require their citizens to be 18 years of age or older to register on a government registry and to purchase it through government stores. So the idea is that they are going to be able to reduce, not eliminate altogether, the organized criminal elements that are involved in distribution and that profit from the illegality of drugs like marijuana. By reducing the profit margin, they hope very much that they will eliminate organized crime moving into their country. At the same time, you must be a Uruguayan citizen, and you must be over 18 years of age. So Brazilians and Argentines and gringos from the United States are not going to be able to waltz into Uruguay and purchase directly marijuana.
How does the U.S. feel about what the Uruguayan government just did?
The United States is developing an intense case of schizophrenia here. On the one hand, your state, Washington State, and Colorado have legalized marijuana from start to finish, and the U.S. government and Eric Holder, the Attorney General, have decided that they're not going to intervene. They're going to await the results and see what happens. So on the one hand, we're seeing shifts taking place in the United States. There are now 20 states plus the District of Columbia that have legalized medical marijuana. We now have two states in the United States that have legalized the full spectrum. Latin America has tired of the prohibitionist model and the costs, the heavy costs that it's imposed, and we're beginning to see significant movement there as well. The United States is of two minds about what's going on. At home, it has decided to sort of back off, at least for the moment. In Latin America, it continues to insist that we forge ahead with the war on drugs, and it has been quite critical of Uruguay.
So it's not, then, the end of a Latin American war on drugs, in other words?
Well, it's the beginning of the end, I think, throughout the hemisphere. We have seen a growing crisis in the prohibitionist model. It hasn't worked. It's often been counterproductive. It's been hugely costly. I estimate well over $100 billion have been spent in recent years on this. If you look at the long-term 40 years, it's been over $1 trillion. We've incarcerated huge numbers of people in the United States. 2.3 million are currently incarcerated at very heavy costs that cannot be borne by the states. And in Latin America, there have been similar negative consequences, especially for the younger generation, which is the one that's most involved in all of this. So the upshot is that countries throughout the region, including states within the United States, are beginning to cast about for alternatives to the prohibitionist model. There is no single model to replace prohibition, but we're beginning to see cracks or ruptures in the traditional consensus of prohibition, and we're seeing it not only in states like Colorado and Washington here in the United States, but we're seeing it throughout Latin America. In that sense, Uruguay is a pioneer. It's out in front, but it won't be the only country, and it won't be the last.
And here's what folks here in Washington State want to know. Will Washington have to compete with Uruguay for pot tourism?
I don't believe that Uruguay is going to try to make itself into pot tourists. And by the way, it's about a 12-hour flight, so the competition is not going to be very direct. If you're going to have competition, it's going to be much more in California in the next couple of years, because I fully expect California will move to legalize pot very much as Washington and Colorado have, if not in 2014, then possibly in 2016.
Bruce Bagley is an international studies professor at the University of Miami. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
In the next hour on The Record, we're going to talk with Seattle City Attorney Pete Holmes about new measures that could affect pot tourism here in the Puget Sound region. It's The Record.